Hello, everybody, and welcome to On the Tee with Dr. P, the podcast about women's golf with an academic twist. This time I'll prove why words really do carry weight. We will also contemplate how simple words can impact the progression of the women's game. Sexism may be more embedded in the game of golf than you first thought. Get your thinking caps on and let's tee up. You know, I'm sure, as many of you do, I receive numerous emails all the time, which include upcoming events at our golf club. These emails may have to do with tournaments or junior camps or other activities. And these emails are actually quite helpful as they keep me apprised of what is happening and when. I like to know what's going on, right? I received another one of these emails the other day, and of course I eagerly opened it up, and since I sincerely appreciate the communication from the golf staff, unfortunately though, it started, as many of them often do, these emails, and it said, "Hello, gentlemen," in the start of it, in the beginning. Now, I've noticed this greeting many times before, and it didn't necessarily make me very mad. It doesn't anger me in any way, but it kept reminding me of the deep-seated, ingrained, often male-dominated culture that is still so prevalent in golf. I'm sure you can come up with a few examples of your own. But this time I had to say something to the sender of that email. And I know those emails aren't devious. They are undoubtedly well-intentioned, for sure. However, the greeting to me was not inclusive of all players. It just wasn't. And to be honest, I play as many rounds at the club as almost any other player at my course. So it seems just a little, I guess I could use the word disappointing. But you may say, well, this is just a word, Dr. P, this is just a word. It's not going to say much or do much. But yeah, that's true. But words can carry a tremendous amount of weight. Now, many of us have heard or seen some obvious sexism on golf courses, or even just in a golf environment, at a golf retail store, for example. But it's hard to miss when this has happened to me before with my mom and I, that it's hard to miss when a cart races to the first tee to get in front of the women who, quote, play really slow. Which, by the way, on that, there are studies that have shown over and over that women are technically not slower players. So there's research out there on that. But how deeply embedded or even hidden is the sexist culture in golf, and how does language play a role in this culture? Okay, so think for a moment about some of the language we use around golf courses every day, and reflect on the words spoken or actually written, which could be perceived as possibly condescending in some way. It's all right if it takes a few minutes to do this. Remember that sexist golf language is so deep-rooted that it's hard not to see it as normal. And some of these deep-seated ideas have to do with some consumer behavior ideas and concepts such as attitude. And there's a lot out there on the research about attitude and how it's pretty difficult to change. So have you ever heard like this? "You got to hit it harder than that, Alice," after you've left a putt short, or you've heard somebody else say that. Or, "What about your club when it advertises a two-man scramble?" Now, I don't know about you, but both of those, no, it's not the end of the world, but it is contributing to the ongoing, slightly sexist culture of, let's just keep this in the conversation, and it really shouldn't be. Or here's another one, the word "ladies." It can be used as a word that separates and differentiates, I believe. Ladies' clubs, how about that? Ladies' clubs. Well, why don't we sell clubs based on ability or need instead? That makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? Or how about ladies' tees? You've probably heard this one over and over and over. And how about T's based on ability? That's shocking, isn't it? Or ability on yardage or something. Or how about Ladies' Day? I actually had fairly recently an older male member ask me why I was there that day playing golf, because it wasn't Tuesday. And that's the designated, quote, Ladies' Day at my club. So he just was wondering why I was there because it wasn't Tuesday. I just said I figured I could play golf anytime I wanted to. And we had a good laugh and we went on. Other examples, I mean, you could even say Cart Girl, or even the Ladies Professional Golf Association, the LPGA, which hasn't always had the word ladies in their organizational name. And the list goes on. Now, there's a study entitled Keeping the Score, the Everyday Practices in Golf. And what this study looked at, what they analyzed, were everyday language and symbols used in and around the golf culture. And I found this really fascinating. Here's what the authors wanted to know. This is what we call a research question, what they wanted to find out. The author's research question was, how do people in positions of power, and those were people like an owner of a club or the country club board of directors, the course designers, people like that, how do people in positions of power reinforce or reproduce sexist discourse in golf? So think about that for a moment, how that could possibly happen. Well, the author began by addressing a few of the more blatant items. And these are things like financial backing of women's golf. You know, we see that a lot in golf media. We don't have enough money going towards the women's game, or sponsorships of women's sport is only 4% compared to the men's, which is the rest. So we see that a lot. But we also see things like I said a second ago, assumptions maybe about slow play by women because they are poor golfers, or just they're just slower because we get out there and talk, or whatever it is, whatever the judgments are. Here's another quote that the author said or wrote. Language used about and by men and women has significant implications for the distribution of power in society. Whoa, that's kind of a big picture right there. But it's certainly one to consider. So they're saying this language can have huge implications just for the whole distribution of power and overall sexism and all those things that happen on a golf course. Again, it's a big picture thing, but it's one to consider. Now, here's where it gets even more interesting. Have you noticed your scorecard lately? Think about it for a second. This is one of those things that the researcher went in to look at. And to be honest, this is something I had not thought of before. So this is one of those hidden types of sexism things. To answer this research question that I said just a minute ago about the power, the author went in and they collected scorecards. And again, this is something I would not have not considered before. Maybe you haven't either. That the author collected scorecards from 85 golf clubs from 12 states, and they analyzed the names of the tee boxes. They analyzed the designation of men's or women's tees, and they looked at indications of course rating and slope. Now, what would any of this have to do with any kind of sexism? I think this may surprise you. The author wanted to see if an everyday, ordinary scorecard could possibly have characteristics which could be problematic to everyday sexist golf culture. Now, my first indication of when I read this study was there's no way they're going to come out and say, no, there really wasn't much that happened here. How could an innocent little scorecard cause any trouble, is what I thought about. No way, it can't be true. But here are some of the main findings from this study. Here's the first one. That they found that tee boxes were named not based on skill level, but on gender codes. This happened significantly, and that means enough in the world of academia. Some scorecards denoted, quote, men's tees or ladies' tees on the same scorecard. So there was a gender differentiation there. Others use the words championship, regular, and ladies on the same scorecard. So you may think that ladies can't be champions, possibly. But that's just my opinion there. But again, they used those different designations on the same scorecard. Here's another finding. While the majority, which was about 66%, of the front tees were indicated with the color red, there were a couple of courses that used pink as their forward tee color. The third finding. The 84% of scorecards calculated course slope and rating for women based on the forward or the middle tees. In other words, and this is from the study itself, a quote, women are not sanctioned to play from the back tee since slopes and ratings are not provided for them. What an interesting finding this is. Actually, all of them are very interesting. Sorry, everybody. You're not supposed to play from the championship tees. If you're a woman, you can't play from the championship tees. And of course, the pink tees are for the girls. And you're going to have to bring your math skills when you have to recalculate your slope if you play from a tee other than the, quote, ladies tee, which, by the way, assumes you play from the front. Now, do not get me wrong here. I play from the front tees, but I tend to equate that to my ability and not my gender. And there are many men at the club that I'm at, that I'm a member, that the men play from the front tees. So this can go both ways, all right? Now, after seeing these results, I decided to do my own little research project. I decided to put my own club's scorecard to the test. Okay, at the top of the card of my scorecard at my club is a grouping of tee colors, okay? And they are gold and blue and orange, white and green, along with men's par and handicap. So those two are together, and those are the colors that are together, gold, blue, orange, white and green with men's par. And following that, underneath, there are a grouping of several blank spaces dedicated for the players' names, which, okay. And then below those is another grouping. Now, this grouping says family, ladies par, and handicap. And the corresponding slope and ratings are listed as well. What we're seeing here is, from this unscientific test, is that I can see tee color and gender were most certainly categorized. There was not only physical space, but I see that family belongs to the ladies category. I'm not saying that's necessarily a horrible thing to be associated with family, but this physical separation of men and women on the card is now, to me, painfully obvious. I did not see this before. After all of the studies that I've read, after all of the study I have done myself inside of the women's game, I never even noticed this. Maybe you have, but I had not. Now, I truly, truly do not believe this was some sort of nefarious or mean-spirited plan to design a scorecard this way. I truly don't. However, I do truly believe that long-standing norms, which include language and symbols, it just automatically ended up on the card this way. This is how it's always been. This is how we're going to differentiate it now. And I think that's problematic. It's problematic. Especially, we have several women at our club that some have played on a very high level that do not play from the front tee. And according to our scorecard, she's supposed to. And I just don't see that fair to her. I don't see that fair to the men who play from the front, that it's still called a ladies tee. Here's another quote from the author that I thought was interesting. By examining scorecards, the signs reveal that a majority of the golf courses differentiate their customers by gender. Think about your club right now or the place that you play. that how do they differentiate on their cards? Maybe they don't, and that's wonderful. I've seen so many wonderful and creative ways to mark tee boxes. I'm sure you've seen them too. I see a lot on Twitter that are fantastic, that are interesting, and a lot of them use color. Some of them just use yardage, things like that. So I think that's a really interesting way to go about it. So basically what they're saying on these scorecards, with the scorecards, and we could add the two-man scramble example that I gave a few minutes ago, the emails with hello gentlemen as the greeting, and all of these other deeply seated golf language items add up to a bigger cultural picture. I believe that we can make sure women's golf, or we can really try, as we're seeing in this movement right now, we can make sure women's golf gets the same exposure. I think we're having a moment right now that women's sport in general and women's golf are gaining some exposure. And I believe that has to do a lot with the folks who are in charge of these organizations that are making sure that women get some more TV time and sponsorships. We can say that women's golf is gaining sponsorships. We can say, yes, we're going to put in as much money as we do for the guys. 50-50 would be nice, right? But if true equality, including pay or media time or tee boxes based on ability, is to be achieved, if all of these things are going to happen, as so many of us want to happen, the language of golf has to change. I believe that we can do all of these other things, again, of pushing money towards the women's game, which obviously will help, and obviously to put the women's game on TV so people can watch, those who want to watch, is great, but the language has to change. I even saw a tournament not so long ago where the men's scoreboard was blue, the women's was pink. So here we go again with that type of thing. But again, the language has to change. And this is all the way from ladies' tees all the way to the two-man scramble. Now, there's no question that golf has its own language. We have a lot of words that are certainly unique to our game. But to be honest, it's time for the eagle to carry this part of the language away, and that the yips of sexist language cease to exist. There is a chance here for a mulligan. So let's get it right this time. Let's make it count on this second round. All right, folks, class is up for today. There is no more time. Thank you so much for joining me on the Tea with Dr. P. You can email me at ontheteawithdrp@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter at drkelly04. Be sure to access Talking Golf, TalkingGolf, TalkingGolf.com, for other related podcasts ranging from architecture to history and everything in between. So until next time, remember, always go for the flag.